Welcome to the Investing Tutor Podcast, the show for professionals looking to master the most up-to-date strategies needed to build wealth and provide a stable financial future. Here's your host, Dr. Hans Boateng.
Jake and I will start by just introducing ourselves and then we can dive right into the questions. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Great. So my name is Jack Spencer. I'm a current senior at William & Mary majoring in finance, and I'm interested in pursuing a career in consulting initially and then progressing into some sort of entrepreneurial venture after gaining those skills.
Hey there, Hans. My name is Jake Elton. Thanks for spending some of your Tuesday night with us. I'm actually a 2020 grad of the college, so just back in May. Studied finance and psychology. Just started a role about 3 months ago at the Federal Reserve Board in FP&A and strategic planning. And I've also been accepted into a deferred MBA program at UVA Darden. So I'll be going back to school in probably 4 years. So super excited for that. But yeah, we're really, really excited to have you here tonight and look forward to asking you some questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very much looking forward to it. And you both have incredible backgrounds. So.
Yeah, great. Well, so we'll dive right into our question, kind of focusing on your entrepreneurial journey. So our first question is, you founded the Investing Tutor while you were still working in the healthcare industry. How did you balance these two roles and what made you ultimately decide to make that switch?
Yeah, I've always had a passion for healthcare because as an immigrant, your parents sort of, you know, imbue certain ideas, if you will. And growing up, my mom always used to say, "Hey, Hans, I can tell that you'd make a fantastic doctor. You know, the way that you care about people, you know, if all the kids are playing and one kid gets hurt," I was the, you know, that young boy who would stop what I was doing and go attend to that little kid. So then looking at those qualities, my mom always used to say that, "Hans, you'd make a fantastic doctor." So I kind of had that at the back of my mind. So I knew that that was what I wanted to do. So long story short, ended up pursuing a doctor of pharmacy degree instead of going the medical doctor route. So then completed pharmacy school, went to William & Mary where I did a healthcare path of distinction MBA program, and I started to work as a healthcare consultant in Washington, D.C. So during that time, the idea of the Investing Tutor hadn't come up. It was after a government sequester where the employer that I was working with in Washington, D.C. laid off 90% of their staff. And I was one of the individuals who was laid off, and I had, let's call it, about a 3 month hiatus. And, you know, events happened, which we could go into it because they are all stories by themselves, that led me to believe that there was a need for this service in the market, right? I Googled, you know, investment tutor, investment educator. And back then in 2016, there were, you know, tons of results, but none of them really leading to a specific educator or tutor in the investment space that an individual could access. And I was quite surprised, you know, with over 300 million people in the US, you mean to tell me there is not a single investing tutor? So then when I discovered that gap in the market, I wanted to fill it specifically to be able to serve, you know, immigrants, minorities, millennials, and women. In you know, this demographic, you tend to see that there's disparities in terms of wealth. And I wanted to help provide that knowledge and strategy that they need to be able to, in my opinion, catch up and build wealth.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting story. And kind of going off of that, What aspects of your medical background or training did you kind of leverage throughout the course of your entrepreneurial journey as you made that transition?
So in the MBA program, I was blessed to be part of the cohort that was selected for the Batten Fund. It's an investment fund or an investment portfolio that's managed by a small group of students with oversight by a professor. And during that experience, now mind you, prior to getting into the MBA program, I had started my journey learning about personal finance and investing. Now, the story of how I discovered this sector or this field is, I remember meeting a mentor in pharmacy school, and that individual could tell that I was really driven to want to discover, you know, how to build wealth. But I was hyper-focused on, you know, trading time for money, right? How much am I being paid per hour? You know, that's the typical thing that most people think about, most people worry about, most people want to negotiate, right? Hourly rate. And I was, you know, in that, I had that exact same mindset. And this individual was like, Hans, you need to have a shift because the rich don't work for money. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Everyone works for money. And this mentor was like, go read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So I did. And I was surprised. I discovered that rich people do not work for money. Instead, they work to acquire assets and also investments. And by focusing on the acquisition of assets and investments, what they do is they detach that link between time for money, right? If an individual owns an asset, that asset makes money for them, regardless of the amount of time being spent. If an individual owns investments, the investments make the money for that individual. It's not based on time. So once I discovered that, it was like an aha moment. So I started to learn as much as I could about the topic of personal finance and investing. So that was kind of like setting the stage for me. When I got into the MBA program, I was, like I was saying initially, I was blessed to have been picked as one of the students to serve on the Batten Fund. And that further drove that interest. After picking stocks, having to defend, you know, your stocks in front of your classmates and you know, having those discussions and the analysis that you have to do and the stock reports and the thesis, you know, your strategy and thinking around it. Why should it be included in the portfolio? Being able to field the questions that your classmates, colleagues, and professors would ask you. All of that is what kind of drove me or solidified that passion, if you will, in wanting to pursue this entrepreneurial venture.
That's great. Thanks for the answer. I really appreciate the fact that you were able to kind of solidify your passion and pursue that in a career. I think that's something that everybody in my shoes strives to, and I think that's something that you can definitely be proud of. I've got a question kind of about entrepreneurship as a career path. And I feel like people in my shoes, people that are either recent college grads or even folks that are still in college, kind of view entrepreneurship as a really risky career, you know, full of uncertainty, full of personal sacrifice. So I was wondering if you could talk a little about how you've been able to kind of balance your time spent helping your clients with, you know, your personal life and other hobbies or interests that you hold.
Yeah. You know what? Life is in fact risky. I remember a wise man once said, life is risky because at the end of life, we all end up with one fate, right? So life by itself has risk. Some individuals try to go through life trying their best to not take any risk. And that's a life not well lived. So then we have to think about it in terms of asymmetric risk. What do I mean by this? How do you take minimum risk, but unlimited upside in terms of the, you know, the results. And that's the way you need to think about it. You know, thinking back or going back, having that job that's paying you really well, it's highly unlikely that an individual would kind of be bold enough to take that leap of faith, right? I started the business because I was laid off. And when I was at home, my best friend's sister, she reached out to me at the request of my best friend, Jeff. His sister reached out to me and she was very upset. She called me actually crying. And I was like, Jenny, what's going on? It's like, Hans, my life is ruined. And I was like, what do you mean? What's going on? She's like, well, I have a lot of student loans. I don't feel I'm ever going to be done paying off my student loans. And I just don't even know what to do. I'm like, oh, Jenny, don't worry. I'm into finance. I'll be able to help you strategize this. So how much do you owe? It's like, Hans, it's a lot of money. I was like, okay, sure. Tell me. She's like, $40,000. And I burst out laughing. I was like, Jenny, 40K is not a lot of money. Okay. And I was like, anyways, let me show you how to strategize in taking care of that. So I walked her through the different options that she has in terms of if it's a federal loan, which is the best loan, right? So for anyone listening, if you get loans directly from school, it's a federal loan. You want to maintain that loan as a federal loan because it's the best student loan that you can ever get. The moment you refinance it into a private loan, you've lost all benefits that come with that federal loan. So I told Jenny, keep your loan as a federal loan and look into these different repayment options. And she did. She looked at an income-based repayment option, which means only 10% of her income goes towards the student loan. And then the remaining, she's able to allocate into other areas of her life. And she did. And it completely changed her financial trajectory. 6 months after our conversation, Jenny, during our call, had told me her life is ruined. She could never get married. She could never buy a house. 6 months after our conversation, she purchased a home. A year later, she got married and had a beautiful wedding. So I saw that change that occurred in her life just because of that 15-minute conversation. And that is what drove me. Around that same time, a colleague of mine from Ghana reached out to me and said, hey, Hans, what is a stock? I started working at a company and they are talking about employee stock options and 401k. Hans, what's a 401k? What's a stock? And I looked at this colleague in the face and I was like, you don't know what a stock is? He's like, no. I was like, what? What do you mean by you don't know what a stock is? So in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh. Many immigrants and minorities are not familiar with some of the greatest wealth building tools in this country. And that's, you know, what led me down the path. In terms of, you know, was it a risk in going down this path to become an entrepreneur? I feel like, and this might be a little bit esoteric, but I feel like if you're destined to do something, sometimes whatever you would call it, God, the universe, faith would push you in that direction. And for me, that's what happened. You know, I was laid off. So because of that 2-3 month window, I took advantage of the time to start my business. As soon as my business had launched, I got a job as a pharmacist. So I was working full-time as a pharmacist and working part-time as an entrepreneur. I did that for a year. After an unplanned circumstance happened at my work, I requested a transfer. And during the transfer, everything just fell apart. And I ended up without a job And the VP of the company was like, oh, Hans, just go to our website and apply for any job that you see. I'll make sure you get in. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. And I chose to take that leap of faith 100% into entrepreneurship. It wasn't an easy decision. My wife thought I had lost my mind. You can imagine making six figures as a pharmacist and one day coming home and saying, you know what? I am going to be a full-time entrepreneur. But what I did to offset that risk that any one of you listening can do is to commit 100%. From the day that I committed to going into entrepreneurship, it was no longer working 8-hour days. I worked 14-hour days for a full year, Monday through Sunday. Why? I had to put out social media content so that individuals would get to know who I am. I had to consistently be learning and becoming the best. I had to get my face, my voice, videos out there consistently to build that credibility, which I know, you know, we could also talk about. And in, and also in marketing and acquiring customers. When you commit that amount of time, right, what you are doing is reducing the risk. So the most important thing that you need to identify if you choose to go down the path of entrepreneurship is this. Is there a product market fit? What that means is that what you're offering, do consumers or do clients want it? The way you know is by actually having sold that thing to individuals outside of your social circle. So if you see that, hey, you can sell that product or that service to individuals outside of your social circle, and they come back with great testimonials, then you know you have product market fit. At that point, when you are taking that leap of faith, all you need to do is to just commit, spend that time, make it the best, grow it, market it, and you do very well. It's not as risky as people think.
Yeah, and I think that's a really inspirational story. And you touched on my next question a little bit, but outside of like impacting people's lives that you've worked with, what has been the most rewarding part of your entrepreneurial experience? And is there anything you would have maybe done differently if looking back on the overall process?
Yes, and when you say the most rewarding, are you saying for me or are you saying with what I have seen with what clients have been able to achieve?
I would say the first one, so for you.
For me. I wake up every single morning with a heart of gratitude. I shared how when I launched the business, I was working 14-hour days. On average, I work about 3 hours a day. Some days I don't work. If I don't want to work, I block out my calendar. If I want to work, I work a maximum of about 3 hours a day. And to me, it seems like a fairy tale. I say this genuinely. I'm able to impact hundreds of thousands of people on a weekly basis if you look at my social media reach. I'm able to consistently put out content. I'm able to serve clients. And I'm able to work one-on-one with these individuals. But looking at the fact that society believes that, you know, society tells you what work is supposed to be. Work is wake up to an alarm at 7 a.m., drag yourself out of bed, you know, go shower while dreading going into a job. And then go into the job, buy coffee, go sit there, smile, pretend you're happy, do whatever you're told. And at 5 p.m., you can get out, run to your car, go home, go watch Netflix, sleep, and repeat the cycle Monday through Friday. Versus the entrepreneurial route where you get to create your reality. So I have created the lifestyle that I have but I earned it by working those 14-hour days for a year. It helped me build so much credibility to the point that I can cut back and it doesn't impact me. And also an understanding of seasons. When you're running an online business like I'm running, sometimes you might have an upcoming launch and there might be 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month of a lot of work, right? It could be 8-hour days, it could be 10-hour days, it could be 5-hour days. But you know, those are not as many, right? I might do maybe 2 launches, maximum 3 launches a year. So when I'm not launching, right, it is crafting my life around, crafting my business around my lifestyle. And that has been the most rewarding. When we, this year, we welcomed our son. My wife and I, you know, we had our son this year in March, and I took a month off. I mean, it seems unreal. I just said, hey, I'm going to take a month off. I could have taken 2 months off if I wanted to, but I said, you know what, I'll take a month off. And being able to just take that month to focus on Princeton. And if he has appointments that I need to be at, seeing him grow because I work from home, you know, just having the flexibility to be able to structure your life according to what you feel like it should be like, it's absolutely rewarding. And that's the benefit of being an entrepreneur. You see, when you take risk, it unlocks so many opportunities that are closed to individuals who can't take a similar risk. But like I said, even when you are taking risk, be sure that it's asymmetric. Not too risky, but the reward should be massive, if you will. So yeah, that's been the most rewarding thing. Just being able to live a life that I am creating. And every single day I wake up with a heart of gratitude.
Thank you for that. I think that's, again, that's just a really great story. I think it's probably something that folks in our shoes don't think about as much, but I think it's, you know, family and life are things that will come at you really quickly. So I think, you know, the fact that you have that flexibility, I think must be really, really fulfilling, I think, for your life. And I think we had one more question for you. And it's kind of about like current job prospects. Like what, you know, what advice do you have for current students given the job environment and more, I guess, like more broadly, and then more specifically, could you provide a little bit of advice kind of on students who are specifically interested in an entrepreneurial path, similar to yours, like any pieces of advice kind of in those two realms?
I saw a quote a couple of weeks ago and it stuck with me. It said that one stream of income or one source of income. So one is too close to none. And I was like, wow, that's fantastic. One stream of income is too close to none. So for anyone listening, or for all of you listening, I believe that you have to challenge yourself. I mean, I started as an employee. And I shared the story of how working full-time, I still had my business as a part-time venture. That enabled me to be able to confirm the product market fit, right? So that when the time was ripe, I could take that leap of faith. We're coming out of a global pandemic and a US recession. Many people might look at this from a pessimistic point of view, but I want you all to know that if we are at the bottom, there's only one direction that we can move, and that's, you know, up. So then there are going to be tons of jobs that will be opening up in the coming months to about a year. It will create a ton of opportunity for you all. The most important thing that you need to work on to be able to get that job that you dream of or that you desire is networking. That's it. Many people don't realize that if you are looking for an opportunity, it is an individual that's going to lead you to that opportunity. So leverage LinkedIn. Take advantage of the alumni network at William & Mary. You know, the colleagues that you see in class, he or she might have a parent, an uncle, a friend that could open doors for you. Networking, putting a lot of time and strategy around this networking piece is super important. Connect with individuals on LinkedIn. Don't ask for too much of their time. Ask them for a 5-minute call to get to learn from them. And on that call, you be genuine, learn, ask them about, you know, how they were able to achieve what they've achieved. Everyone loves compliments. So if you get on that call, the first 3-4 minutes, you just pour on the compliments. Oh my gosh, you have incredible credentials. How could I become like you? How do I get my foot in the door? Trust me, they'll be more than happy to help you. So network. Get to know people, you know, and don't do it with an ulterior motive, right? Because it's going to come across. Genuinely want to build that network and that relationship, and it will open doors for you. For the individuals who want to be entrepreneurs, you cannot afford not to be an entrepreneur in the coming decades. It's impossible. You're going to see that we're going to be shifting towards more of gig workers. Consultants might now be their own LLC or corporation, if you will, right? They might be having billable hours. It might not be advantageous to pack everyone in, you know, in an office in Washington, D.C. and New York, or having individuals always go to airports. Maybe we might slowly transition to work from home, and that would lead to more independent contractors. So then prepare yourself for that entrepreneurial wave, if you will. And don't just settle for only a job. Take an assessment of your skills. What are you uniquely gifted at? And how can you bring that gift and that talent to the world? Look at me. I just read a ton of personal finance and investing books. And that's what I'm bringing to the world. I'm not the only person doing this, but I have a unique lived experience. And that is the lived experience of an immigrant, right? And a minority in the US. And I am looking to help others like myself be able to build wealth in America to help close the racial wealth gap. So I just have a unique lived experience. And each and every one of you also has a unique lived experience. So figure out your gifts, figure out your talents, figure out what you want to bring to the world. And yeah, don't just settle for only a job. Have that job, but build your entrepreneurial enterprise or idea. And I wish you all the absolute best.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great advice. And I think your position on networking really resonates with me, since it's something I've found to be really valuable in consulting recruiting. That's the end of our questions. Thank you again for your time. This has been really helpful to both Jake and I, and I imagine also will be very helpful to the students who are able to watch the highlight reel that we put together.